arm. Olbrich now saw a bundle of some kind. Alerted, Olbrich looked around to see whether his own bundle was missing before remembering that he never had a bundle.
"This isn't a nursery,"
the bartender told the newcomer, although Olbrich couldn't figure out why.
"I just need some directions,"
the hooded man responded. Olbrich knew many directions. He'd lived long enough in Tatooine to visit lots of places. And while he hated most of them and would never go back, he prided himself on knowing the best shortcuts to them. Certain that his directions would be better than those provided by a droid pretending to be a Duros, Olbrich moved to intervene. This time, he caught the railing himself. Olbrich looked back warily at the glass on the bar. "That drink ain't right," he said to the bartender.
You're...
The newcomer interjected cautiously.
"You mean to say they're watering the ale?"
The bartender looked at the hooded guest and smirked.
"Sure, we always add the scarcest thing on Tatooine to our drinks. We rake in the credits that way."
"Ain't what I mean," Olbrich said, trying to focus. "You've done slipped something in this drink to put me out, so you can take my money. I know you city types."
The bartender shook his bald head and looked behind him to his similarly hairless wife, who was washing up at the sink.
"Close it up, Una. We've been found out."
He looked to the hooded stranger.
"We've been piling customers' bodies in the back room for years, but I guess that's all over now,"
he said jokingly.
"I won't tell a soul,"
the newcomer said, smiling.
"In exchange for directions. And a bit of blue milk, if you have it."
Olbrich was puzzling through that exchange when the bartender's expression turned to one of concern. The old farmer turned to see several young humans entering through the arched doorway, cursing and laughing. Through his haze, Olbrich recognized the drunken rowdies. The two in their 20s were brother and sister Mullen and Vika Galt, Hellion spawn of Olbrich's greatest competitor out west, Orin Galt. And their cronies were here too. Zed Grabo, the big menace who could outlift a loader droid. And, at just a little over half his size, young Jabe Calwell, son of one of Olbrich's neighbors.
"Get that kid out of here," the bartender yelled when he saw the teenage tag along. "Like I told the other guy, the daycare's around the block."
At the reference, Olbrich heard catcalls from the young punks, and he noticed his savior turning to face the wall with his bundle, away from the troublemakers. Vika Galt shoved past Olbrich and grabbed a bottle from behind the bar. She paid the Duros with an obscene gesture. Her fellow hooligans had moved on to a helpless victim, Una, the bartender's wife. Catching the startled Duros woman with a pile of empties on her tray, Zed spun her around for sport, causing mugs to fly in all directions. One struck the shaggy head of a patron at a nearby table. The Wookiee rose to register his towering disapproval. So did Olbrich, who had disliked several generations of Galts and didn't mind helping to put this generation in its place. He staggered to a table near the group and prepared to raise his objections. But the Wookiee had precedence, and Olbrich felt the table he was leaning against falling anyway. So he decided to check things out from the floor. He heard a scuffling sound and only vaguely registered the arrival of the bartender's wife, who scuttled into cover beside him. The Wookiee backhanded Zed, sending him across the room and into the table of some people Olbrich was pretty sure were thieves, even though they weren't droids. He'd eyed the green-skinned, long-snouted Rodians all afternoon and evening, wondering when they'd harass him.
He knew henchmen for Jabba the Hutt when he saw them. Now, their table upended, the thugs moved, chairs overturning as they shot to their feet and reached for their guns.
No blasters!
Ulbrich heard the bartenders yell as customers stampeded for the exit. The call didn't do a bit of good. Trapped between advancing attackers, the Gaults, who had drawn their pistols when the Wookiee struck their comrade, began firing back at the Rodians. Young Jabe might have fired his weapon too, Ulbrich saw, had the Wookiee not lifted him from the ground. The Titan held the howling boy aloft, about to hurl him into a wall. The bearded newcomer knelt beside Ulbrich against the bar and leaned across him toward the bartender's wife.
Take care of this,
the man said, placing his bundle in her hands. Then he dashed into the fray. Ulbrich returned his attention to the bar fight. Above him, the Wookiee threw Jabe at the wall. But somehow, boy and wall never met. As Ulbrich craned his neck to see, Jabe's flailing body flew in an unnatural curve through the air and landed behind the bar. Stunned, Ulbrich looked to see if Yuna had seen the same thing. But she was frozen in terror, eyes squeezed shut. Then a blaster shot struck the floor near them. She opened her eyes. With a scream, she shoved the bundle into Ulbrich's hands and crawled away. Ulbrich turned his own frightened eyes back to the brawl, expecting to see the Wookiee beating Jabe to a pulp. He saw, instead, the hooded man holding Jabe's blaster and pointing it at the ceiling. The man fired once at the light globe suspended overhead. A second later, Junix's joint was in darkness. But not silence. There was the Wookiee's howl, the blaster shots, the shattered glass. And then there was a strange humming sound, even louder than the one in Ulbrich's ears. Ulbrich feared to peer around the edge of the table shielding his body. But when he did, he could make out the silhouette of the hooded man, lit by a wash of blue light, and stray blaster bolts of orange ricocheting harmlessly into the wall. Dark figures surged forward, the criminal Rodians, but they fell away, screaming, as the human advanced. Ulbrich slid back behind the table, trembling. When quiet finally came, all Ulbrich could hear was a gentle rustling inside the blanket on his lap.